Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us now praise the Lord by singing together Psalm 16, the stanzas 1 and 4. We will now listen to the declaration of God's 10 covenant words. Thereafter, we sing together Psalm 111, the stanzas 1 and 4. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male serve, nor his female serve, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. At a later time, when our Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, and he was being questioned concerning the greatest of these commandments, he summed them all up together by saying, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This is the first and great commandment. And the second, which is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." We will now unite in prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, we humble ourselves before your great and glorious majesty. We thank you, Lord, that you have gathered us together again as your people. By gathering us together, you show your continual faithfulness. Lord, again this morning we have heard your covenant words proclaimed. By these words you bind ourselves to yourself, and you confirm that we may be your children. By these words you show your great love for us, and also your care and desire for us. For Lord, when you give us these covenant words teaching us to submit ourselves to you alone, you show how much you desire us and want us to be your children. We therefore indeed humble ourselves before your great and glorious majesty, because, Lord, we know that in many ways we have offended you. You have seen our sins and transgressions, and nothing was hidden from before you. We are ashamed of our iniquity. Pray that you will graciously forgive us. Look upon us in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for what you have given us in him. We thank you that we could gather together here in freedom and without trouble and persecution. Lord, we tend to take it all for granted, but when we consider things happening in other places of this world, how thankful we must be. Because there are places in this world, again also this morning, that were confronted with terrorist activity. Lord, we pray that you will be with your people who are confronted in this way and accept a humble gratitude for the kind of peace and prosperity that we may continue to enjoy. Lord, from the history of your word, we are taught and learn that it is you who also sent enemies and troubles among your people when your people go astray. Recognize that in many ways your children have gone astray. We too have already humbled ourselves in the knowledge that we too have not honored you as we should. We are therefore very thankful for the opportunities that you continue to give to us. Now that we are gathered here together as your people, we pray that you will be in our midst. We thank you, Lord, that today in a particular way we may remember that our Lord Jesus Christ has completed his work, that he is seated at your right hand, and that it is he who has sent the Holy Spirit to work among us. Lord, strengthen us by that Spirit. Grant that we may embrace the knowledge of the great faithfulness that you have shown. Grant that nothing may hinder our listening and hearing your word. We lay all our needs and concerns before you. Remember our loved ones, whether close by or far away, that are seriously ill. We heal them, strengthen them, look upon them, encourage them. Pray that you also be with those that are struggling because of economic difficulties, those that struggle because of strife within families. Will you guide and direct them? Be also near to those that continue to miss loved ones that have been taken away. Lord, we remember those that mourn, widows and the widowers, take care of them. We pray, Lord, that you will strengthen each one of us, that we do not doubt your great and rich promise, that you continue on with us today, tomorrow, and forever. Lord, we pray that you will encourage us through the knowledge of your faithfulness. Will you hear us in all these things? In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're not given the opportunity to bring your offerings to the Lord, which this morning is for the support of deacon work. After the offertory, we will sing together Psalm 110, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 6. We will now open God's word. We turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Listen now to God's word. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in his own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others, mocking, said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. Now begins our text for this morning, verse 32 through 36. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is Pentecost Day today. Probably understood it already because we read this passage and it was already mentioned in prayer as well. Generally on Pentecost Day, all attention is focused on the Holy Spirit. And indeed, on this day, we do remember that the Holy Spirit has come. We've read from Acts how the disciples were gathered together on this day, and there suddenly came the sound of wind. Various signs were given that the Holy Spirit had indeed come. Yes, there were some who did not believe and mockingly suggested that these people were drunk. But we are told that Peter stood up and began to explain what was really happening. In this explanation, Peter, first of all, refers to how Joel had already foreshadowed in a prophetic way that the Holy Spirit would be given in this way. However, as soon as he completed reading the passage from Joel, he focuses his attention and the attention of the crowd gathered there on Jesus Christ. Verse 22, He straight away begins by saying, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, attested by God to you by miracles and signs." He explains who Jesus was and what he had done. He refers to Psalm 110, which we just sang, to remind the crowds of how the Lord had promised through David a son who would live forever. Even death would not be able to overpower him. "You will not leave me in Hades." And it's really true, because Christ has risen from the dead. Peter continues to explain this. Our text begins by reminding them that God has raised up Jesus. And he says, as disciples, "We are witnesses." And now that he is exalted at the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he, Christ, poured out this which you now see. It's important for us to remember that really, Pentecost Day is a further declaration and testimony to Christ and his work. Peter, clearly being inspired, directed all their attention to him, Christ Jesus. And therefore, your attention this morning is also directed to him, Christ Jesus, as the one who sends the promised Holy Spirit. When paying attention to Christ Jesus sending the Spirit, we first notice that it is confirmation of his, Christ's work. Secondly, it is continuation of his work. And the third place, the culmination of his work. As you may have already somewhat understood, the Apostle Peter takes this opportunity to tell the crowds that gathered together because they heard the sound of a wind and were wondering what was happening there, emphasizing that this is what had been foreshadowed concerning Jesus Christ. The crowd that was gathered there together would have known about the Lord Jesus. Certainly most of them would have. It was not that long ago that publicly he had been crucified. Yes, words and rumors had been going on about his resurrection. And perhaps some have even been speaking already about he was taken up into heaven. So the people were wondering, what is this all about? According to the instruction that the Lord Jesus himself had given, the disciples went to Jerusalem and waited there. Waited there, like he had directed them, for the promise of the Spirit. They waited. They could not do anything but wait. When this did happen, one can understand that straight away it's in the mind of the disciples, apostles. It's really true. Christ Jesus is really at his Father's right hand. It is really true. His Father has endowed him with the Holy Spirit, and he is pouring it out on us now today. How wonderful and how great. When reflecting on it, they would also have recognized how Already in the days of John the Baptist, they heard it declared in this way. For John the Baptist had proclaimed that the Messiah would come. And his declaration had said, "He is greater than I am. I am not even worthy to unloose his sandal." John had said, "I baptize you with water, but he who is coming after me is so much greater. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He will give you this great and rich blessing, the Holy Spirit. I, John the Baptist, am unable to do so, but he will be able to grant you this rich gift." When the Lord Jesus was with his disciples, more than once he spoke to them about the Spirit that would be given. In a particular way, we may think of how in the Gospel of John it is mentioned several times in a speech shortly before the Lord Jesus was taken away to be crucified and die. We read of it in chapters 14, 15, and 16 of that gospel. There the Lord Jesus tells his disciples that he will be taken away. "And when I am taken away," he says, "I will not abandon you, but I will give you another helper or another counselor to be with you and to remain with you. Even the Spirit of truth." And when he foreshadows this and tells them about it, he also indicates what this Spirit will do. He tells them that he will remind them of me, and he will bring back to mind the words that he, Christ Jesus, has spoken. It becomes very clear from how the Lord Jesus speaks that the Holy Spirit will be there to help them focus their attention on who the Lord Jesus really is. That is the point that the Lord makes through the Apostle Peter at the conclusion of this speech, when he emphasizes that God raised this Jesus up from the dead. We saw it happen. We've seen him resurrected from the dead. And he has ascended into heaven, exalted at the right hand of God, that he is there, that he has risen. It's confirmation that God the Father has accepted him. That God the Father endorses his righteousness and holiness, which he had shown in his entire life. Keep in mind of how Peter had referred to Psalm 110. In the psalm, through David, the Lord had made it very clear that God is a righteous God. He will not be shaken in his righteousness. None can shake him off that firm foundation. And even though Christ Jesus did die, God could not leave him in Hades. God upholds his righteousness and truth. He could not allow his Holy One to see corruption. Therefore, know that this Jesus really is this Holy One. He did not sin, even though he was born in the brokenness of this world, even though by becoming one with us, he partook, yes, accepted the brokenness in which we all find ourselves, and the curse of God because of our iniquity and rebellion against Him. He made this all His own, even though He did not sin at all. The point is made very clear in the letter to the Hebrews, the Jews that were gathered here. There it is emphasized how He really became one with us in body and blood, accepting our brokenness. Like also pointed out in the letter to the Galatians, that He was born under the law, under its curse. Just like all the children of Adam are conceived with this curse. Even though, like emphasized in the letter to the Hebrews, He did not sin. He remained perfectly obedient, even obedient unto death, as emphasized later by the Apostle Peter in his letters. By our text, the Apostle Peter emphasizes this point. God has accepted Him. God has raised Him up. We all saw it, and we saw the resurrected Christ. God had promised that He, Christ, would pour out this Spirit. He pours Him out. Indeed, the Holy Spirit had been at work earlier already, since the beginning of creation. He was there already when God created all things. We read of the Spirit strengthening David, for example, and various kings and prophets in the past. But now the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, continually referred that way as the Spirit of Christ in the New Testament Scripture. For like the Lord Jesus Himself had foreshadowed, He would direct attention to Him so that men believe in Him, in Christ Jesus. That is the point of Pentecost today. Pentecost Day, which in the past was a celebration of the fullness that the Lord was giving to His people. The fullness of the prosperity that they could enjoy in the promised land. It was the day after the celebration of Passover. 50 days later, the celebration of the harvest. The Lord has given everything that He had promised. That is the point here. The Lord has given us everything in Christ that had been promised. A deliverer, a Savior who has come into this world. One who has paid for our sins. It is with reference to Psalm 16 that this is emphasized. The Lord said to my Lord, so the Lord God, the covenant God, had said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. There we have it. Christ Jesus, our Redeemer and Savior, sent the Holy Spirit into this world according to His promise. Let us therefore then focus on Christ. And let me emphasize in the second place that therefore we pay attention to His continuing work. Indeed, the Holy Spirit is busy in this age. And at times men will speak about this age as the age of the Holy Spirit. But let us never separate Him from Christ as our Redeemer and Savior. Let us always remember that our attention is focused on Him. Christ, having completed His work of suffering and death and is now seated at His Father's right hand as victor, continues His work as our Redeemer and Savior. Continues His work. It's evident in various ways in the way Peter speaks, but also in the way this history is revealed to us. If you look at the original text in chapter 2, it begins with the word "and," emphasizing progression. "And when the day of Pentecost had fully come." And a continuation of what had already taken place. Christ Jesus died, He ascended into heaven. "And when the day of Pentecost had fully come." A continuation. Continuation that is already indicated right at the beginning of this book as well, when the Lord inspired Luke to address Theophilus also in this second book. In his introduction, he says of how in his first book, the Gospel, he tells of things that Jesus began to both do and teach until the day He was taken up. And after He, again notice, after He, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to His apostles whom He had chosen, to whom He also presented Himself alive after His suffering by many infallible proofs. And now, in the second book, He tells us what He continues to do. We live in a continuing history of Christ's work, now working through His Holy Spirit, whom He has sent. We may reflect on how the Lord had inspired these men, for example, to write the testimony of what had taken place. It is the Holy Spirit's work. Let us therefore always be careful that we do not separate Christ's continuing work and that of the work of the Holy Spirit. In a way, you might say, the Holy Spirit remains somewhere in the background. In the background, in the sense of that the Holy Spirit, like Christ had foreshadowed, continually points us to Him, to Christ. That is what the Apostle Peter himself clearly is doing when he explains what is taking place here. We therefore rightly confess, for example, in the Heidelberg Catechism from God's Word, that our only comfort is that I belong to Christ Jesus, my Savior. Our focus is on Him and His continuing redeeming work. Christ Jesus became one with us in flesh and blood. He is our Redeemer and Savior, and therefore we continually focus on Him. We continually turn to Him. Our hope is in Him. He is our good shepherd who has laid down His life for us. And yes, we are willful sheep. Willful sheep who need help. And He gives that help by sending the Holy Spirit. He continues to have that message proclaimed in a twofold way, one might say. By giving us His Word that was inspired by this Holy Spirit, and also in endowing men to proclaim that Word in the power of the Spirit to direct one to Christ, so that the Apostle Paul, when filled by the Holy Spirit, insisted, "I want to know nothing except Christ and Him crucified." Keep in mind, too, that the church is the bride of Christ. And if the bridegroom, Christ Jesus, gives us help to be a faithful bride, a bride adorned in a beautiful way. Yes, we may give some attention to the help that is given. But really, the help that is given directs our attention continually to Him, focuses on Him, on what Christ is continuing to do today. Christ has not abandoned this world. He continues to gather, defend, and preserve His church. We confess it that way, don't we? Rightly so, because the Lord speaks of how He, the Good Shepherd, continues to gather His flock together. Yes, He uses instruments, His Word, His Spirit. But let us not, in a distorted way, focus our attention on the instrument, but rather focus our attention on Him, Christ Jesus. Indeed, the Holy Spirit is very important in this context. Very important help that we cannot do without. He too, as the person of God, along with the Father and the Son, is a person, and we must be careful not to offend Him, but to heed His direction. And when heeding His direction, our focus does remain on Christ Jesus, our Savior. It is a pity that in the history of the New Testament church, at times the focus seems to become distorted that way on the Holy Spirit. Yes, indeed, like already said, we pay attention to Him. And He is a gift that Christ has given. But let us never take it out of its context, of the context of driving us to Him, to our Savior and Deliverer, for the church as a bride to be prepared for her Redeemer, to be adorned with good works, with faith and trust in Christ Jesus as her Redeemer and Savior. Therefore, recognize in the work of the Holy Spirit, in the fullness of His coming, Christ's redeeming work. It is in this context that Christ had come, and that the Holy Spirit has been sent to help you along. Christ continuing to do His work. We therefore pray for the strength of the Holy Spirit, that the church may be gathered, may be defended, we may live as children and citizens of Christ's kingdom. The Lord God has given a place of honor and authority to Christ. That is very clear. The conclusion of our text emphasizes this. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know, and let me remind you, the Lord grafted you in as the house of Israel today. Gentiles are grafted in among God's people, among Israel. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know a surety that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord, that is Master, and Christ, that is to say, as King, as Prophet, as Priest, as the Anointed One. This is how we are to receive Him. And in our text, it is emphasized in a very strong way, with a lot of confidence, that the house of Israel know assuredly. That word, emphasizing it, there can be no question about it. God has done this. He has made this Jesus, Lord, and Christ. He remains your prophet, your priest, your king, your master. Therefore, be submissive to him. And third place, your attention may also be drawn to how the words of Psalm 16 indicate that on the one hand, what he has done is already complete, but will come to its culmination, its full, complete fulfillment. For the Lord had said already through David, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. Till I make your enemies your footstool. Very clear indication as well of what this crowd gathered on Pentecost Day could expect. That the enemy of the gospel, those who militate against the Lord, will come to shame and be defeated. Even though we do not yet see it, and in this age, the enmity continues to be strong, overpowering even, we may rest assured of Christ's victory, because he has already obtained it when he suffered and died. One might say it in this way: mankind has gained the victory because the Lord Jesus became one with us, mankind. He was born in David's line. And even though, when looking at things happening in this world, Israel as a nation may appear entirely defeated, but it is not. The son of David, the king who rules here on this earth, is already seated at the Father's right hand in heaven. He is the victor for you and for me. And even though the enemy may seem overwhelming and very strong and powerful, the victory is already in hand. How encouraging for us today, beloved. For when it is emphasized by our text that this Jesus became man, this Savior, for that's what his name means, this Savior whom you crucified, showing that he suffered and died for us, he is both Lord and Christ, and he will remain Lord and Christ forever. You may be very confident in him. You may be assured. You may insist on it. You do not have to be shy or afraid. You do not have to stand in the midst of this world and say, well, I think maybe. You do not stand here in this world with some kind of vague hope either. The fact that Christ has come, has died, has risen, has ascended, is at his Father's right hand, must make us as God's people very confident and very sure. There's no doubt of Christ's return and his final victory. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till your enemies, till I make your enemies your footstool. It will happen. The enemies will all be put into submission. No one can stop the powerful God. No one can restrain Christ Jesus. He will come. And already we may enjoy the beginning of his completed work, as shown by how he has sent the Holy Spirit into this world. This afternoon, the Lord willing, we will pay particular attention to the response of the crowds and how the Lord, through Peter, instructs them to continue to live in this age and this time. But for now, we may go home with the assurance that Christ Jesus is our Redeemer. He has confirmed it. He continues to be our Savior and Redeemer, and His work will come to full completion. Amen. Let us now in thankfulness sing together hymn 40, stanzas 3 and 5. Consistory passes on the following announcements, namely the home visits for this week, the Lord willing family. W. Grunewald, Wednesday at 7:30. Family D. Swartz, Thursday at 7:30. And family L. Fisser, Thursday at 7:30. We will now unite in thanksgiving prayer. Almighty, faithful God and Father, we thank and praise you for granting us the Holy Spirit. We thank you that he is sent by our Savior and Deliverer, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you will strengthen us by the Holy Spirit, that our attention and focus may be entirely on Christ's redeeming work. Yes, grant that we may know him to be our Master, and therefore fully submit ourselves to his teaching. Grant that we know him to be the prophet who continues to reveal himself to us in his word, in a word inspired by the Holy Spirit and proclaimed through your servants by the strength of that same Spirit. Work mightily among us by that Spirit that we may embrace that word and show thankfulness in our entire walk of life. Yes, Lord, grant that our entire life may be very spiritual, spiritually focused on our Redeemer and Savior, whom you have sent and given. We pray, Lord, that you will grant that we may know him to be our priest, who has died for our iniquities and washes away all our sins. We pray that you will also strengthen us, that we may know him as our King, so that he rules over us and we submit to him. Lord, we thank you that we may be his bride that you have bought with his precious blood. Grant that we may receive the strength of his Spirit so that as a bride we may truly live in a way that is honorable to him, that we show that we really belong to him, that we know him to be our King and priest and prophet. Grant, Lord, that it may become evident in our entire life so that men around us may also see the kind of confidence and trust that we have in you and in him, our Father and our Redeemer. Lord, hear us and accept our gratitude. In Christ's name, amen. In conclusion, we will now sing together hymn 49, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.